going to catch up, people. I'm so sorry you got locked in the steering committee for climate change. So you can imagine how hectic it was. I was aware that I should break off from it, but I'm sure something just caught my mind and pushed me away. I'm sorry in any case. Very, very sorry about that. Fortunately, I was just around the corner. Let me welcome everyone. Here's another comrade of mine in Christ. He's from the same meeting. Let me welcome everyone. Thanks very much for coming. Today we have two presentations. The first one is by Synergy. It will be explained properly. That's Exaro and Tata. Why? It so happened that we were going to get CEF, Central Energy Fund, to take us through today, I think. But then, in the last minute, some procedural lacuna, as the lawyers call it, came up. I said, no, we can't afford. We're all here. It's committee week. We must use this week very productively. But somewhere, because one is a little bit of a curious person, I picked up something very striking, that there is this synergy, which is a joint venture between Exaro and Tata, that they are going to, in the next couple of years, I don't know how many years, they want to generate or build a program that will generate 16 gigawatts of energy. I said, my God, a private company. 16 giga, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm? 16 giga.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I saw it properly. 16 giga. That's exactly the reason that no way. We as parliament, you must get to know what made these people so bold. What is it that's behind all of this? So, honorable members, I have nothing more to say other than that I read that article and I said, let us invite this company to explain to us. I suppose there's something that we learn from that. Not that we wouldn't be inviting other companies, but this is the boldness, you know, of the figure without having spoken to them, fortunately. But then thereafter, we'll get the department and ESCOM to take us through the solar water heater rollout, because we know that the president at the State of Nation address did pronounce a very, very bold step. So it's appropriate for us as the committee to just get to know from those two entities that how do they propose to further roll out, because it's not how do they plan or whatever. Already we've got something around 250,000 or a little bit more, depending on the updated figures in terms of solar water heaters that have been rolled out. So those are the two. Without further ado, let me welcome the gentlemen from Exaro and Tata. They'll introduce themselves, and we will listen very attentively with our notes and pens and papers.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. It's a real privilege for us to be here. Allow me just to introduce the party that's here with me. I've got Mr. Raman Dhawan, who is the Managing Director of Tata Africa. He looks at the whole African continent for Tata. Dr. Nandu Mandishkor, who is a Regional Representative or Manager of Tata Power in South Africa. Mr. Peter Liu Ping, who is in Synergy, our Opportunity Manager for Solar Energy. And then Mr. Thomas Garner, who is the newly appointed Chief Executive Officer of the company called Synergy. I myself are from Exaro. I'm Mr. Aaron Sventer, Executive General Manager at Business Growth. So I look at Exaro resources growth in South Africa and globally. What we'd want to do is to allow Mr. Garner to do a presentation first, just a visual sort of presentation of what Synergy is all about. We will try and stick to the time, and then we will open up the floor for questions. So without further ado, if I could ask Mr. Garner to proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernst, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Committee. It's really a privilege for us to be here. What we'll do is we'll show a two-minute video clip. There's some sound. I'll try and get it over the microphone as well. It'll give you an overall view and review of what Cenergy stands for. And after that, it'll go into a presentation. Gives the honourable members just an overview of Cenergy, what Cenergy stands for. I'll go into more detail in the presentation, and you're welcome to then jot down some questions and ask it afterwards, where we will try to answer it as good as possible. In terms of Cenergy, and you would have seen it in the video as well, is it's a company focusing on cleaner energy in the Southern African region. And what we stand for is for action. And therefore, you'll see all the advertisements of Cenergy as the one that you see on the screen now. It's always something, somebody in action. Cenergy was formed by Exxaro. Exxaro Resources is a South African company, and Tata Power, an Indian-based company. In terms of the background on the companies, Exxaro is one of South Africa's largest BEE, diversified resource companies listed on the JSE. It's a diverse and world-class commodity portfolio on coal, mineral sands, base metals, iron ore. We've got Exxaro has got exposure through 20% interest in Sishen Iron Ore Company, and also a newly acquired project in the Congo. Exxaro is the second largest South African coal producer, currently producing around 45 million tons per annum of coal. It's probably one of the top two or three coal producers suppliers to Eskom, and it's the third largest cobalt producer of mineral sands. On the other hand, Tata Power is part of the bigger Tata Group. Tata Group is a $100 billion entity in India. It's India's largest integrated power utility listed on the Mumbai Stock Exchange, and it brings vast expertise and experience to our partnership. It's got diverse and world-class power generation, transmission, and distribution business in India. Got more than 5,297 megawatts of installed capacity in India, including coal, gas, hydro, solar, and wind projects, It's got more than 3,000 kilometers of transmission infrastructure and more than 1.3 million customers in Delhi and Mumbai. What the two companies decided is to put this together, as you've seen in the video, and to form a cleaner energy company to take up the challenge that Africa provides us in terms of energy. And it's very clear that in Africa, probably 500 million people without access to electricity. And as you know from being members of the Portfolio Committee on Energy, South Africa itself has got a massive challenge in terms of electricity and energy going forward. Some background on Exxaro. Market capitalization in hands of historical disadvantaged South Africans, quite large. In terms of the Minerals and Petroleum Resources Act, the target for 2014 is 26%. Currently, it's sitting at 55%. Exxaro was formed by doing a deal where ISCs were merged with the coal business of Kumba. Kumba Iron Ore was spun out of that. There is really, Exxaro became a company where employment equity, where black ownership of the company in terms of what we want in South Africa is a company that gives direction. In terms of the market cap, and this is June 2011 numbers, at that stage 64 billion rand, it's relatively increased quite a lot since then. As you can see, the historical disadvantage of African ownership around 55%, and it's a company that's black controlled and managed. The ownership, as you can see there, 15% IDC, 55% ISCSWE, Ayabantu 9.5% TISO, and 11% Basadi Bakopane, which all holds the shareholding in a company called BEE Holdco, and BEE Holdco holding a massive share over the 52% in Exxaro. Dividends paid up till the end of last year, before the new year, 2.86 billion already to BEE Holdco. And then there's also the Exxaro Empower share program, where 9,200 of ordinary employees as shares in the company. Dividends paid 9 million rand, 9,000 rand per participant, around 81 million rand by the end of last year. And there was a November 2011 payout, which was a benefit of around 114,000 rand per full period participant, any employee in Exxaro, excluding the management. If you look at Exxaro's human resource development, the culture of a philosophy of developing people, an average of 430 engineering learners receive training each month. It's about 5.5% of all learnerships in the mining sector, and Exxaro employees only make 2.5% of the industry, so double what is needed in terms of the act. 76% of learner intake was black, and over the last 5 years, Exxaro has qualified over 500 artisans and 108 engineers. That's where the growth of South Africa will come from. In terms of community development, around 223 million rand spent from 2007 to September 2011, and there's a breakdown of where that goes to. If you look at Tata Power, an integrated player, as we've said previously. It's in the whole value chain, from fuel to fuel transportation, generation, transmission and distribution. And you can see in generation there, 5297 of 5.2, 5.3 gigawatts of installed capacity already, or operational capacity, most of it thermal, some of it in hydro, and then also wind and solar. In transmission, you can see the transmission networks in Mumbai and also customers in Mumbai and Delhi. If you look at the presence of Tata Power in India, there's a map of India showing where the power stations are and what the business is about. 52% of the mix is coal, 9% wind, 12% hydro, and then the balance in gas, oil, gas and LNG. And the business is growing in all segments. International presence, also coal mines in Indonesia, technology investments in Australia, logistics office in Singapore, and various other projects, hydro projects, Nepal and Bhutan. A definite international player. Tata also brings, the same as Exxaro's, the values, what we want in Africa, to the table in terms of sustainability, care for the environment, care for the communities in which they operate, care for customers, and care for people. And that's an integral part of Tata's power business. If you look at care for community, the principles of community engagement, programs on livelihood, helping communities become self-reliant and empowered, participatory development, some carbon neutral village clusters, and for customers, the real stakeholders in these companies, energy clubs, customer care centers, demand side management, energy audits, and it's going beyond mere transactions. And that's why the two companies decided to get together, because there's a massive challenge in South Africa and Africa in terms of energy, and we believe that the private sector can play a massive role in bringing infrastructure to the continent and to the subcontinent. Sipho Nkosi, the CEO of Exxaro, said at the launch on the 4th of April, the partnership with Tata Power will add the skills and capabilities necessary to create the world-class energy company in this region with enormous growth opportunities. This energy has been created by companies from developing nations to serve developing nations. We expect Cenergy to play a key role in the African electricity generation market. Mr. Anil Sardana, the Managing Director of Tata Power, said Tata is happy to explore new avenues in international space by partnering with good local entities. The joint venture is consistent with our strategy of pursuing global exploration opportunities for energy development in growing markets. We look forward to working together with Exxaro to jointly develop efficient, high-quality and sustainable projects that will bring significant benefits to the region as well as local communities. In reply, the Minister of Energy, Excellency Mr. Puyo-Peter, said, "I strongly believe and I'm convinced that we want to change the picture of Africa from being the darkest continent at night with no access to energy. In the near future, it should not be that we are still deliberating that only 42% of Africa's population has access to modern energy, with the rate for sub-Saharan Africa as low as 31%, the lowest regional rate in the world, which is unacceptably low." So what is the vision of Cenergy? The vision of Cenergy is to be the leading cleaner energy independent power producer in Southern Africa, serving an expanding energy market. And the aspirational target, as the chairperson said, 16 gigawatts by 2025. That's a massive ask. Cenergy is about powering progress. Cenergy was born out of Exxaro that started the process, Tata coming on board. And if you look at Exxaro's brand and Exxaro's payoff line, it says powering possibility. And we took that spirit of powering possibility and we said, let's power progress in Africa. There's a lot of potential, there's a lot of possibilities, but we don't see that progress every day. So the company is standing for real results, for action, for leadership in the region, for optimism about Africa, South Africa and our future, about power and about making a real difference in the lives of people. If you look at the generation mix, and you will ask, but what do you mean by a cleaner energy company? You see there that by 2025, we want to have a mix of around 45% renewables, 15% coal, and 40% gas, with an aspirational target of a grid emission factor from our operations of around 0.3 to 0.5 tons of CO2 per megawatt hour of electricity. So a cleaner company, cleaner energy company, is not a company that won't have coal-fired power stations. It's a company where the grid emission factor or the emission factor of the combination of the assets is lower than the grid emission factor of that of the region. If you look at South Africa's IRP 2010, which is a forecast, of the build program up to 2030. It shows the breakdown in terms of coal, gas, hydro, and whatever else. And you can see in terms of wind and solar, the massive ask of 8,400 megawatts per technology as part of the renewable energy program that the government is rolling out at this stage. Cenergy has then also submitted 274 megawatts of wind and 41 megawatts of solar into this program. How will Cenergy fill the gap? It's through a portfolio of energy projects, through a portfolio of technologies, and initially through a focus on energy generation. With significant scale and backing, in partnership with African partners, and with an experienced and skilled team. What we're looking at is a balanced portfolio of early stage, late stage projects of diversified technologies, solar, wind, coal, hydro, and a real focus to get it started, to prove success in the region, and then to move on. There you can see the projects in development, where the focus is initially on. There's a 30 megawatt solar project in Lephalale in the Limpopo province, 11 megawatt Letsatsi solar in the northwest, Tikwa wind around 400 kilometers from here up the west coast, the Titsikama community wind farm of around 95 megawatts near Port Elizabeth, about 150 kilometers west of PE, and the Namakala Imoyeni wind project near Cookhouse and Bedford in the Eastern Cape. Cenergy has already taken at risk the same value system as its parents, Tata and Exxaro. And even before we were bidding in the renewable energy program, we already assisted in communities. And the photos you can see there is of the community in the Eastern Cape near Port Elizabeth, where we teamed up with Watt Energy and the Titikama Development Trust. You can see on one of the photos Mike Masizi, the senior managing director of Watt Energy. And in that area, the children had to walk to school up to 12 kilometers a day. And we decided, let's sponsor a bus. We built new ablution blocks there, sponsored computers to the school, electrified the school. And in terms of what we want to do in future is we will use our resources, we'll use and we'll come and develop the people in the areas where we work. That's a short presentation on Cenergy, what we stand for, what is our vision, our dream. What I can tell you is that there's a passionate team of people working every day on this, making it a reality, and we need all the support from everywhere that we can get. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think, thanks, Tommy. I think it's well to the point, short, and if there's any questions from the floor, Mr. Chair, we'll take them at your leisure. Thank you.
Honourable members, questions and comments, please. Honourable Mloto, Honourable Smala, let me see the hands. Okay, then we'll just come from Honourable Freling, followed by Honourable Ross and Matibe.
I just have one question. I see the marriage between Tata and Exxaro. But my question is, no, I mean, it's not my responsibility to ask this question, but for the purpose of engagement in this meeting, I would assume it's a matter that Exxaro and its shareholders and board members would have talked about. How does this thing fit in within the broad business strategy of Exxaro, given that Exxaro is a resource company? For me, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm being unfair by posing this question, but if I'm sitting on the board of Exxaro, I would ask the question, why get involved in an energy company if we are a resource company. And if then, I'm going to paint different scenarios, and you have to help me here. I would say I'm getting involved as Exxaro, I'm getting involved in an energy company, given that, one, I've got a smelter, and Eskom is unable to supply my energy requirements, and therefore I'm going to build a power plant for own generation to be able to supply my energy needs. That forms part of my business strategy, and I'm securing my energy supply given the constraints that Eskom is facing. Now, I'm sitting here, this is a very unfair question. You don't have to answer it. You know, you don't have to answer it, because I believe it's a matter that should be discussed. It has been discussed. I would assume it has been discussed at the board of Exxaro. But I just want to find out, how does this thing fit in within your business strategy as Exxaro? Tata, I understand. Tata is an integrated power company. They want to establish their footprint within Africa. For them, it's a perfect strategy that they are adopting. But Exxaro, I don't understand. You're mining stuff underground, and you are supposed to export it. So help me here.
Must we respond to question per question,
no.
Mr. Chair, or must
given the time constraints, let's take all the questions.
Okay.
Honourable Smal.
Yes, Chair. I'll also try to be brief. It's always good to have targets set, and if they are sustainable or not, or to reach those targets of 16 gigawatts. I just would like to see. I looked at your graph that mentioned the 40% gas, something percentage coal, and just want to get to it quickly. I just would like to wonder, especially on the gas side, and especially what is happening now, is the 16 gigawatts, I would presume that is the target that you would like to reach within our hemisphere, or within Africa, within the total Africa. Where do you see then your split of power of new generation then within the borders of then confined a little bit more into South Africa, if I could see it in, you know, could say it in that, especially looking at the possibilities or the vulnerability towards or the sensitive issues, especially around gas. Now, maybe you could, you know, clarify me a little bit more, or maybe future plans that you guys maybe have got on that. I'm going to stick to one. I'll allow other people to also ask. Okay.
I mean, my question was very similar to the first one, but I've got a couple of questions. I mean, yeah, my suspicions are the same. I imagine that Exxaro has also gone into this partnership with some extent about securing its own energy supply, because I know that this is the talk among some of the mining companies as well, that they need security of supply and that these kinds of arrangements are being looked at. So I'll be interested to hear your response to that. What I would also be interested in, that taking that further, is that do you think that the current regulatory environment in South Africa is conducive towards you meeting such an ambitious target at the moment? Or do you think that we need to be opening up the grid far more and allowing for wheeling so that there can be particular arrangements put in place, such as providing power that can be wheeled through the grid to particular large energy-intensive companies? Do you think that things like that need to happen for you to reach that particular target? And then just in terms of your 16 gigawatts, I mean, I see you, I think you mentioned that it's Southern Africa that you're looking at. What component will be South Africa? Because in terms of what your figures are, you're only talking about 274 megawatts and 41 megawatts of wind and solar, which is a very small amount compared to your 16 gigawatt total. So I'll be interested to see how you intend to reach your 45% renewable target of 16 gigawatts. Where else do you see that coming from? Is this mainly in other countries? And what is your process with regards to that? And then just lastly, in terms of localization, I mean, this has obviously been a key thing in terms of our renewable energy push in South Africa. Are you going to be sourcing, or is your plans to actually establish factories to produce some of the wind turbines, to produce some of the solar panels, or some of the CSP plants in South Africa so that we can really get the benefits, or are you looking at importing this technology? What are your plans around that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add to my colleague's concern regarding adequate supply, I'm quite impressed with the targets in the longer term, but is there something that you can perhaps give us in the shorter term, in terms of your objectives to meet a certain mega percentage in terms of the total supply of what you've mentioned in 2025, perhaps in a shorter term objectives in that regard? If we take into consideration that South Africa, currently we have a supply problem, and I think our shortage of supply, supply shortfall is about 1,000 megawatts. Suddenly it became 3,000 megawatts. That's the latest information that I have. And that equates to three times a city of Cape Town uses in a year. And it is of huge concern, and I think we can be very grateful that we have private role players also very interested to add to this national problem. And I think it's just magnificent news that we hear that we have people that's interested and committed and that would like to add. But I see that your targets are in line with our generation mix in terms of the IRP2, and that's also very good news to us. If we take in consideration, too, that South Africa will be needing about 80,000 megawatts by 2030, I think. Currently we have 40,000 megawatts. We need to get to that 80,000, and I think we know that we can't go it alone. Eskom can't go it alone. We have to open up the markets. And I think that's where the ISMO bill comes in. And I would very much like to hear your opinion of how you see the ISMO bill. I'm not going too much depth.
Okay.
So I'd just like to know your opinion in terms of the ISMO bill. Do you see it as a positive for opening up the markets in terms of adequate supply? And also perhaps the pricing methodology. Do you think that could assist in terms of the huge prices that South African consumers paid? I think we had a decline in pricing now from 25% to 16%, and how you see your role in terms of perhaps bringing some relief to consumers in terms of electricity pricing. And then just a second, a B part, Chair, with your permission. I see in your presentation on the Tata Power presentation, integrated player, you say that fuel supply in place for majority of operational and execution projects. Are you also in process of adding to our constraints in terms of the fuel supply situation and perhaps any targets in that regard? And we know that we also have quite constraints in this regard. And also then, you know, adding to the plight of the consumer, what would your views be in terms of fuel pricing? Because I know that the refineries...
Hang on.
I'll
have to put my foot down now.
Okay, on fuel pricing, is it not relevant to the fuel aspirations of Exxaro? Is it relevant or not? Because I was stopped.
Not at this stage for synergy, but we will comment on that.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And then just on a lighter note, I see that the Free State has been excluded from their development programs. And it might be quite, Chairperson. If it's possible in future, try and include us there somewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. And I see here it's you've got the BEE, it's a BEE company with black people on it. And I just wanted to know which provinces are included in this BEE. Because I see here you said you wanted to have 52% black owned people. Thank you.
Okay. Over to you, gentlemen.
Tommy, sorry. Can I? The first question is what's related to why Exxaro is doing it, because it's clear why Tata is doing it.
The reason why I'm a bit stiff on this fuel pricing, it's a little bit of a, you know, odd-in thing. We're not talking about fuel pricing here.
I won't talk on that.
We're talking about
synergy.
What synergy, what cost synergy to do through this. And the trend of the questions up to now is that we'd like to know more what triggered you to do this and to what are your intentions? You know, if you're going to veer off now, I'm sorry.
Yes. So just on the first question, there was a question from a gentleman to ask, why is Exxaro doing this? I mean, why is Exxaro forming an energy company? There's three reasons for Exxaro forming an energy company. Exxaro is a South African domiciled listed mining company, predominantly mining coal, having interest in iron ore, of course, mineral sands. And we've got growth aspirations in this country. So the first of the three reasons is energy security, to ensure energy security for us. The second of the reasons is the cost of energy. If you look at cost of energy where we were 3-4 years ago and where we're going to, I mean, the cost of energy is increasing and we need to become self-reliant on some of our own energy. And then the third reason is the whole issue of carbon footprint, climate change going forward. Exxaro has got a carbon footprint of approximately 2.7 million tons of CO2. We'd like to participate in cleaner energy projects so that we could be seen to be act as a responsible citizen going forward. So that's a strategic rationale for Exxaro, why you see a mining company. So it's for growth, to become cleaner, and to also hedge us against a rising cost going forward. That was the first question. The second question was the 16 gigawatt target. Tommy, just to break it down in terms of how we will get there and what portion of that is in South Africa and so.
Great. I think in terms of that answer, and this more asked in view of the sensitivities around gas, is 16 gigawatt is a massive target. But if you don't set yourself a target, you're definitely not going to get there. So we set ourselves a massive target. It was a top-down approach target setting. So what we did is we looked at the region. We said, in terms of the Southern African power pool, what capacity is needed? So that's the 80 gigawatts by 2030 plus the rest of the region. And we said, to be a meaningful player in that market, we need around 15% of that market, which equates to around 16 gigawatts. So that's the top-down approach. The bottom-up approach is, how do you get there? You need to start somewhere. So we've developed some of these projects, which is mainly in the renewable energy field, the 315 megawatts that you see. Now, that's already a big ask. If you look at the equity that energy needs to put in there, it's around 2 billion rand. So that's already a massive target for a start. We don't want to go and chase this aspirational target without proving early success. So we need to prove early success, we need to create the credibility. Our shareholders need to come back and say, listen guys, you've proven yourself, we will put more money in. The markets will then also look at us and say, it's a credible team, there's some success, and you can go and raise capital either on the bond market or via IPOs or stuff like that. In terms of gas, there's a lot of sensitivities around gas in the country. Most of the gas that we look at will be outside of South Africa. I mean, there's lots of gas developments in Botswana, where Exxaro has a 75% stake in a gas field, a coal-bed methane field in Botswana, which could form part of it. And then there's gas on the east and the west coast of Africa. There's massive finds of gas happening all the time. Africa is actually relatively gas and oil rich. So in terms of the aspirational target, this doesn't refer to shale gas from the Karoo. This refers to gas in general, which could be LNG, could be CNG, it could be coal-bed methane, it could be from various sources.
Just a third question was around related to the security of supply, and what do we see, how conducive is the regulatory environment in terms of for IPPs. It also relates a bit to the ISMO bill, etc. Maybe just a short answer from you. We strongly believe from an Exxaro perspective, and we had various interactions with all the stakeholders, Department of Energy, NERSA, ESCOM, etc., that the ISMO bill will be conducive to the creation of independent power producers. We need to create a context in South Africa where private energy players can get access to the grid at reasonable tariffs.
to wheel power through the grid to specific customers with the need for that. And that, and in the end, we then see a portfolio of independent power producers. If we look forward 10, 15 years from now, we see 5 or 6 or 7 IPPs latching onto the distribution grid and then wheeling power to specific customers.
Can I just add something on regarding the regulatory environment and wheeling on the grid? Pre the ISMO bill, it was clear from the Act that you could wheel. There is general access to the grid. Since the ISMO bill has come out, it's not clear. So even though the government wants private participation, the legislation comes out and it's not clear. So there's a lot of questions regarding that, and we are interacting with government on that, but it's that should be sorted out. We have in Exxaro pre-Synergy started developing a coal-fired power plant in the Waterberg, which could come on stream in 2018, 2019. And we have signed power purchase term sheets with industrial off-takers. But since the ISMO bill has come out, that's not clear. Whether you can wheel or whether you can't wheel, and that should be addressed.
That's critical.
Okay, can I cover the question on localization and also which provinces are going to be included, and what is the BE status of that? As Tommy indicated when he presented, we've got 5 projects. 3 of them are wind that we bidded in the second window of DOE's renewable energy program. 5 projects, 3 of them are wind and 2 are solar projects. The 3 wind projects, the biggest one of all the 5 projects is the Amakala project. We bidded about 139 megawatts there. And what we've done here, we brought in, it's going to happen with each and every project. But we brought in here figures for the Amakala because it's the biggest, but it will happen in each and every project. For instance, in terms of localization, during the construction period, we're going to be spending a total of about R1,999.912 million. And of that, 65.9%, which is R659 million, will be BBBEE. That's what we're going to be spending. And on QSE, qualified small enterprises and emerging micro enterprises, we're going to be spending R163.5 million. And women-owned vendors will spend about R26 million. That is during construction. And during operation, we're going to, a total spend is going to be R769 million. And of that, 80%, R615 million, will go towards BBBEE companies and qualified small enterprises and emerging micro enterprises are going to be spending R422 million, and women-owned vendors will be spending R307 million. So
Peter,
that covers.
Peter, can I just come in there? I just want to ask the chair that, I mean, there's people from the press here, and these numbers are sensitive. And that we should handle it in that way. We want to inform the members of the portfolio committee of really what's happening on the ground, but we don't want these numbers being splashed around newspapers pre the fact that we have a successful project or not. If I can just ask some sensitivity towards that.
Yeah, just to, I mean,
I'm sure the Fossil State would be sensitive enough
thank you.
For now.
But this localized
at least we'll still be CEO for years to come. they can come back later down the line and say, look, you branded these figures and what's happening? What can I make the figures?
But just to latch on to Peter, I mean, all the principles of local economic development is in the rules of the Department of Energy's REP process. It's spelled out very clearly. And to comply, even before you bid, you need to actually comply with a minimum amount of local economic empowerment.
Mm.
And what Peter is illustrating on Amakala, we're actually exceeding those requirements. And I think that's our philosophy, because we believe it's the right thing to do and not because we need to do it.
In terms of the provinces, I think Tommy showed where our projects are. Unfortunately, yes, at the moment we don't have a project in the Free State. But with time, yes, we will
definitely. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Rest assured, Honourable Ross is going to monitor you.
Yes. Yes, and with each and every project, we're going to form an SPVs. Special purpose vehicles for each and every project, and each project will have its own community trust, where we're going to be looking at the benefiting the community around that area, and there's going to be a free carry for each of these. So the dividend that's going to be coming through will be flowing through to some of these communities. So that's what is going to happen in each and every project.
Great. Thanks, Peter.
Good. I think that's on localization. I think there was a question, is there something which we can do in the short term? We sit now with an energy supply crisis. If we look at our current portfolio of projects from a synergy perspective, the first power into the grid would be only in 2014, 2015 if we are successful in our bids. So that's the timing on our projects. Exxaro does have base load project, as Tommy has indicated, but that will only be on the grid in 2018. So the only shorter term alleviation which we have is we've got a cogen project which is under construction at the Mokwa Sand Smelter, because that's where we start normally to look at energy efficiency, which will relieve some of the pressure of the grid, but that's small and minute. It's, I think, only about 15 megawatts. So unfortunately, we don't have a big solution for, let's say, the next 2 years, 2.5 years. Our projects will only be constructed and commissioned in 2014 going forward. I think there was another question related to, will this company also look at liquid fuel? Now, the focus of this company is not liquid fuel, it's specifically electricity and power generation, but different forms and of alternative cleaner power. As Tommy has indicated, with a lower grid emission factor, our 0.3 to 0.5 compares to the current grid emission factor of about 0.8, 1.1, which we have in terms of, so it's cleaner in terms of that. But we will not be looking at liquid fuel initially. Of course, there's a lot of technology developments in terms of biofuels and stuff like that, but that could become part of the portfolio at some future date. Then just the last question was in terms of the question from the member here, in terms of Exxaro being a BEE company and how we will be empowering different communities in different provinces. The numbers which was indicated in the Exxaro presentation, the 56 and all of that, is of course an existing shareholder structure, which constitutes of members from the Northwestern Cape, KZN, and Gauteng. Now, that's an existing Exxaro sort of BEE structure, which we've shown on the presentation. From a synergy perspective, the empowerment will take place from a local community perspective. So wherever we do have a project, let's say it's in the Free State now, because there's a lot of solar potential there, there will be local economic empowerment in that community. That's part of the rules of the game. So, and we will that's part of the modus operandi of synergy. I think that's it. I think there's one remark which I want to make, Mr. Chair. I think the 16 gigawatts sounds, are you guys smoking or where are you coming from? We do believe it's possible if we look at the future and we aim to capture 15 or 20% of the market which we need for sustainable growth in Africa. We will believe that we will get funding for cleaner energy ventures in South Africa with a different mix, a more energy-friendly mix, with a partner like Tata with experience. Tata already operates about 400 megawatts of cleaner energy projects in India. They've got operational experience in terms of the energy business, and they bring to Exxaro what we need to actually try together with Eskom, together with the Department of Energy, together with NERSA to resolve the energy constraints which we have in this region, not only now but into the future to sustain sustainable growth. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Your microphones, please. Any further questions? From my side, I'm sorry, I must have missed it. One question was around what's your strategy on localization vis-à-vis manufacturing? I know we there are certain sensitivities. You can't let the cat, the whole cat, out of the bag. But it's just good to have a sense, you know, because as you would know, you know, localization, it's not just about local empowerment, it's about also the job creation component. So that's why we definitely get very, very keen on that. And but it comes along with a number of other things, you know, technological transfer, you know, and all of that. In very, very broad terms, so that we can have a sense. And beyond that, you made reference to energy clubs and energy audits. I'm just curious if you could just spend a few minutes. You know, what do energy clubs entail and what do they do? And what is being done when, what are the activities, you know, in energy audits?
Correct, Honourable Chair. I will take the first question and then Dr. Nandu can do the second one. In terms of localization, it is not Cenergy's objective to start up technology companies that will, for instance, build solar panels or wind turbines in South Africa. But what we will do is we will choose international partners that will come and do that here. And that's part of the Department of Energy's Renewable Energy Program. They force you to localize. So we've chosen on our three wind farms two international suppliers that will build towers and nacelles and blades in South Africa. That has already made alliances with local companies in the manufacturing sector to do that. If we don't do that, if they don't come to the party, we will lose our PPAs. So in terms of localization is, as Exxaro has proven in training and educating people, we will take local people, send them to India, send them to Denmark, for wherever the suppliers are, to educate and train them, to bring them back where they can work in their local communities on the wind farms. For instance, if you look at the Amakala project that Peter has quoted, in terms of the construction phase, there will be around 263 jobs created during construction. Most of it will be local. And during operations, only 13 permanent jobs on that wind farm, because it is it's not a massively labor-intensive operation. Although the indirect jobs that will be created by the technology coming to South Africa, the manufacturing happening here, and the skills base that's being built here, it's much larger. Nandu, maybe the second part of the question.
Thanks, Tommy. Honourable Chairperson, the question on energy audits and energy clubs is really part of our community development and sustainability initiatives that are being run out of Tata Power in Mumbai and Delhi. We have over 1 million customers as a distribution company, and it's equally important both as a generator and a distributor to understand what the needs of your customer are, and also to be able to manage it on their behalf so it doesn't put an undue strain on the generating assets that you have. So from that perspective, we actively get involved with all our customers, both large and small, in terms from a distribution company, to try and understand how we can help them structure the energy balance and requirements to try and ensure that it always meets within what we can ultimately supply to them as the end users. The Energy Club is more of a social interaction where we try and get together in terms of social groups and have people discuss how they have come up with sustainability initiatives, mostly within the company itself, and seeing how the various employees within the company actually put in sustainability initiatives into their day-to-day lives and try and improve on their sort of, or reduce their energy demand, so to say. I hope that answers your question a little bit.
For now. You're not about to disappear.
No, not at all. And if there's any further information you require, I'm very happy to provide it to your offices. It's absolutely fine. I mean, we want to quite engage with you know, any of the regions we're operating in to try and see how can we share the knowledge that we have.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honourable Member, thanks very much. Let's wrap up in preparation for the hotter topic. But, you know, if you remember last year in November, we held our first energy public meeting. This committee has triggered that, although it was not well attended by us, but others attended it. And the topic that day was prospects of job creation in local manufacturing in the renewable energy sector. And a couple of aspects were, not a couple, just two, three, were very skeptic about localization of manufacturing, because they were saying that the demand is not enough. But strange enough, in the very meeting down the line, there were two companies which just said, look, we're producing turbines, and the other one, I don't know what they were producing. Now, I just sat there chairing, said, but then what are we saying? What are we getting? Because one would have assumed that the business community, one of the members, is saying that department or government do better to create a conducive environment for local manufacturing. Although the three departments were there, economic development, trade and industry, and energy, and they stood their ground. They said, look, we've created enough framework to drive this. And please don't look at it a little bit parochially just in front of you, but look at it more visionary and in long term. That's the response, you know, from the representatives, the officials from the departments. Now, you will sense why this reaction when I saw this article, you know, because one assumed, and I can say correctly, that you wouldn't take such a bold step without taking into account the need for local manufacturing. And rightfully, I'm sure one of the members, we're not expecting Exaro and Tata to diversify and start local manufacturing, but they could be catalytic in ensuring, you know, local manufacturing. So in those words, it shows that we will be quite keen and have hawk's eye together with the media on you guys as we see you rolling out your program in the years to come. It's very, very striking. I don't need to repeat what the Minister of Energy is saying. I don't need to repeat what the President says about public-private partnerships. But at this stage, one can say that, look, if this is one of the models of ensuring that it rolls out, I trust and hope other companies would be as bold enough. When you've got professionals, you've got trained people, experienced people, you definitely, as the head of delegation was saying, you know, that you did your homework to come to that figure. We take that into account. The confidence that you have shown in taking up 16 gigawatts, I trust and hope also will strengthen our resolve to ensure that we move in the right direction, both as private and public sectors, in ensuring sustainability of energy and even cleaner energy for that matter in South Africa. It's good that we're forthright about the Eastmobile, even though we're starting with it next month. And I trust and hope you can sneak in your concerns to me. I know the honourable members, the ease of wheeling was raised at some stage. I'm sure we'll be alert to that, because we can't introduce
a new tool in the area of energy only have major unintended consequences. There'll always be unintended consequences, but not with wheeling, because there is keenness for contribution by private sector on energy. You have been vigilant enough, but we'll ensure that even in future, when we have energy public meetings, if there's any need for you to come and share, we invite you. For now, thank you very much for the effort. You know, we traveled a long distance, and we're very grateful, honored from our side now, and grateful that, you know, you've come to share with us your plans, and trust and hope that, as I say, they will not only be confined to you, even if other companies are your competitors, but at least they should be inspired this time. And the fact that you are also visionary beyond South Africa, because development must be balanced in this continent. You know, it cannot just be confined to one country. We know this, that skewed kind of approach in development, that in the long run is counterproductive. So the fact that you are looking probably in SADC, you know, the region as a whole, needs to be applauded as well. Namaste, Nandri. I don't know what, which one. Thank you very much. Bye, thank you.
Thanks a lot. So be assured of our commitment to make a contribution and a positive contribution to the growth of our country and our region. Thank you.
Honourable members, let's just take a 5-minute break whilst ESCOM is preparing. Oh no, the department is preparing itself. Thank you.